gmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5, today's Modern Worship. And just like I have been doing for a while now, I want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, you need a church home. Our district, our general superintendent posted something that Dr. Tony Evans had said at some point in time, and he said you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's absolutely true, but there are benefits to being in the house. And he said if you're married, you don't have to go home at night, but if you don't go home, if you do not come to the house, if you do not have a relationship with your spouse, before long, there's going to be a strain on that relationship. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. The church needs the gift of grace that God has placed inside of you. The church needs your testimony. The church needs the purpose that God created you for from the foundation of the world. And you need the church. And so I would love to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And listen, it may not be the biggest church around, but it is a church that makes kingdom impact around the world. It's a church that makes a kingdom impact wherever we get an opportunity to do so. And through the years, as the church has fluctuated in size, it was microscopically small, and then it got somewhat bigger, and it fluctuates, you know, depending upon people moving in and out of the area. You know, our influence just continues to grow. Through the years, there have been people that thought that if they left, that the church was going to fall apart. And I can tell you now that the church does more, accomplishes more than it did during that point in time. You see, we learned a long time ago that God is our provider and He is faithful. And that's why we can bring you this radio program. In the very first year, we started the Refresh radio program the last week of October, and so we're coming up on 9 years just here in a few weeks, the last week of October in 2013. And, you know, the finances were in pretty good shape when we started, and by about March, the finances were not in such a great shape. And I was like, God, I don't know how much longer we can continue to do this. And a person that does not go to our church knocked on our door one day and said God had been telling him that he needed to make a donation. It was a good sized donation, a greatly appreciated donation, and it was for about half of the monthly expenses of the radio program. And he didn't have any idea that at that point in time, we didn't know how much longer we were going to be able to continue. We don't do this program to get rich. We do this to bring the word of God. We feel like it's an open door. And when God opens a door, we have this habit of walking through those doors. And we've discovered that God is a faithful provider. And so ever since that time, we have continued to press forward. There was another time a few years later that the finances were getting down into that very narrow margin area of our life and or our budget. and God showed up in a big way again. And so I can tell you that God is faithful, and we look to Him. He's the provider, and we're just blessed to have a part here in the kingdom of God. But part of that is He brings people into the church, and we're thankful for the new people that God has brought in this year. In case you don't know it, an average church has to grow by 30% every year just to break even. COVID has made that probably even more a higher percentage than that. You've got to continue to add new people. We've got an Air Force family that is more than likely going to be relocated here in the months to come, and so we're going to adapt, overcome, and improvise, and we're going to look to the Lord of the harvest to bring in new people once again who can help us to reach our community, be a blessing to our family, be a blessing to our church, be a blessing to our community, be a blessing to the world. And so if you do not have a church home, would you please pray about Merit Assembly of God? Because we would love to be a part of what God is doing in your life and would do through your life. So to Acts chapter 15 we go. I'm not going to read the entire passage like I did yesterday. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11, and it says, Acts 15:8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. That's where we ended yesterday. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So Peter is tapping back into the truth, the spiritual truth that God had shared with him back in Acts, the 10th chapter. I'm trying to turn back there. In verse number 34, where Peter said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." And he just has brought this counsel to that point again, where he said he's doing the same work in them that he did in us. Now he begins to transition to the motivation of the people who are trying to put the spiritual transmission in reverse and drag these new believers back into an older dynamic, an older paradigm. And Peter says, "Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" So they were trying to drag these new believers back into an old covenant lifestyle. And there's an interesting picture that Peter brings out. He says, "You weren't able to live that life. I wasn't able to live that life. Our forefathers weren't able to live that life. That's why Jesus came to fulfill all the law and the prophets, because only He could do everything that needed to be done in an absolutely perfect and sinless manner. And it benefited us all. We get to walk in this covenant of grace that Jesus has made available for us. Why do we want to try and drag these people back into a legalistic mindset?" I don't remember who it was that said, "If you have the Word without the Spirit, you get legalism. And if you live in the Spirit but without the Word, you get fanaticism." The solution is not to exclude one or the other, but to live life in the Word, walking in the Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where you get exponential obedience and exponential fruit. Okay, so we're going to talk about this a little bit more. I don't think we're going to get too much into it today, but there are biblical standards. Contrary to what many people may think, you don't just pray a prayer and get to go live your life without any restrictions whatsoever. There are standards of behavior that believers should live by, and that's going to be testified here in Acts chapter 15. Okay? So there should be remarkable differences between believers and unbelievers. But before we get there, I want to share with you what Peter said about the believers who were making these accusations and making these false claims that said these new believers have to live this legalistic standard that nobody was able to bear. And Peter's question was this: why do you test God by putting a yoke on their neck? Why do you test God by putting a yoke of legalism on their neck? You weren't able to wear it. I wasn't able to wear it. Our forefathers were. Nobody's been able to wear that yoke. Why are you trying to test God in the way that you are treating these new believers that he is acknowledging? I had a conversation with a person one time, and they were going through a difficult moment. And hey, we all have difficult moments. We're not here to condemn people for having difficult moments. But in their difficult moment, they began to make some comments about God. And, you know, God's a big boy. that's just a terminology, just phrase. I'm not insulting the maturity or any of that. I'm just putting that in a way that we can understand it. God can handle himself. He's a perfectly holy God who's capable of dealing with any questions that you might have. This person began to get to inch closer and closer, and I said, I just want to caution you. And I took him back to the book of Job, when Job was asking all of these questions of God because of the very difficult, it was a very real, very traumatic circumstance that he was going through, and Job was asking all of these questions, and I said, I just want you to be careful, because when you start asking questions of God, God will be able to answer those questions. But he also will at some point in time begin to ask you questions that you will not be able to answer. He will show his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence. He will show his all-sufficiency and his supremacy in every category of life. There's never been a better politician, never been a better king, never been a better provider or a creator, a savior or a healer or a Lord. There has never been a better source of peace, a better source of love. God is supreme in every one of those categories. So you don't want to test God. So you don't want to test God with the questions, but here you also don't want to test God by treating badly those people that he has redeemed by his own blood. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. With that same revelation, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were bought with the precious blood. It wasn't my blood. It was the blood of Jesus. So my job is to build you up. My job is to teach. My job is to preach. My job is to help shepherd you into the healthy and vibrant and abundant relationship with Jesus Christ that is going to allow you to experience the fullness of God. So in modern times, people feel a great deal of freedom to attack God. I don't recommend it. It is an unwise course of action. I will tell you that there is a place, there is an area of life where God says, test me in this. Prove me in this. And see if I... And that's in the area of finances. That's in the area of bringing the holy tithe, decreed holy by God, the tithe that was designated by him to be his. He says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and see if I, prove me in this. See if I will not open up the windows of heaven that you don't have room enough to contain, and that I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God says, you can test me in that area. There are people that God tells to do something, and they say, oh, no, I could never do that. I don't want to test God. And listen, when God tells you to do something, it's not testing him to do it. It's testing him when you don't do it. Obedience is obedience to what God tells you to do is not testing God. Disobedience to what God tells you to do is testing God. And so Peter says to these people who are trying to drag these people back into a legalistic lifestyle, he said, you better be careful, because you are not just treating them badly. You are actually testing God. You are testing God through the way that you treat people that he has acknowledged, that he has purified their hearts, he's saved them, and he's given them God the Holy Spirit. So, verse number 11, Peter flips the script. The mindset of these who had made the accusation were, they were Pharisees who had a very legalistic lifestyle, but had put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But their mindset was, we are better than these other people. We are better than these other people. And so they need to listen to us, and we need to tell them how they're going to serve God. And listen, there were all sorts of rabbinical traditions that made it virtually impossible for the average ordinary person to have any confidence at all that they were living in a manner that was pleasing and acceptable to God. I don't care if you had a list that was, you know, 15 or if it was 50. People could not live up to everything that these people kept at. And Jesus came along and he said, look, you all are setting aside the commandment of God for the traditions of men. And if we're not careful, we can fall for the same things that caused us to stumble before Christ. If we don't deal with those issues, they can cause us to stumble in our walk with Christ. These people actually thought that they were helping, but Peter said, no, you're actually testing God. Now listen to what verse number 11 says. For we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they are. So Peter comes along And he says, look, I have the same confidence that God is going to do for me the same thing that he's doing in these believers. Where this group of Pharisees were looking and saying, you know, these poor, uneducated people, they don't know their which way is up and which way is down. Peter said, man, I have all of the confidence in the world. I believe that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has saved them is going to be the same manner that God saves me. And so instead of looking at them as poor, helpless victims, Peter looked at them as a source of inspiration. You see, man's perspective isn't always real, real good. You know, the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. So there are some powerful examples through history of people who weren't known broadly on the global scale, but I will tell you they were known personally by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There were forces of darkness that were negatively impacted because these anonymous believers took a stand and launched out in a journey of faith that plundered the kingdom of darkness and populated the kingdom of heaven. You know, some of the challenges that we faced when we came to Merit Assembly of God, they were real challenges. But I tell you that my mindset has always been, thank God for those who've gone before us. Because of their efforts, because of the things that they did, there was something in place that we had to work with. There was a lot of work to be done, but it would have been even harder. It would have been even more challenging had there not been faithful people serving at Merit Assembly of God for the 40 years before we got there. There was a person back before navigating Merit Island back in those days was a lot more challenging, a lot more time consuming than it is now. The roads weren't all that great. There wasn't a church there where there is now. It was a dance hall. And God spoke to a person and said, hey, believe there should be a church there. And God led to a divine appointment. And the next thing you knew, there was a church there. Well, a few years later, they replaced one building with a different building. And there were a lot of different pastors that cycled. Some of them stayed for a short season. Some of them stayed for a longer period of time. None of them have been there as long as I have. December will be 30 years that I've been the pastor at Merit Assembly of God. But thank God there was something to work with. So I want to talk to you. There may be some of you out there today, and you may have had some well-meaning believers who didn't necessarily edify you, but, you know, it was a challenging season at one point in time in your life. And I want you to be reminded that with God, he acknowledges you by giving you salvation, acknowledges you by giving the Holy Spirit, acknowledges you by purifying your hearts by faith and doing the same thing for you as he's done for others. He is not a God of partiality. He is a God that treats believers just like they are. They are the object of his affection. So don't ever forget that. And if you've been wounded by a person in church, I'm sorry. I've been there. I've been a victim and probably also a perpetrator, because I'm not perfect. But you know, a lot of people I've apologized to. But I want to just ask you today: would you allow the grace of God, the opinion of God about you, the truth of God about you, the blessings of God upon you, would you give God permission to overwhelm all of the hurtful words, all of the hurtful actions, all of the wounds of men? Would you allow God in his grace to bring healing and peace, wholeness into that area of your life? Because if you'll do that, you can be an inspiration to others. Amen. I was praying for someone going through a little bit of a challenging season right now, and they told me what was going on in their life. And I tell you, after I had that conversation with them, my prayer went something like this: God, I pray that you will do a work in my life in such a way that I'll be able to respond to the challenges of the moment and the adversity of the hour with the same type of faith that they are approaching that. And I'll keep you posted on seasons of adversity in my life and let you know that, hey, I want God to be God till the very last heartbeat, the very last breath. And I pray today that the word of God will be an inspiration to you today, that the wounds of men are no match for the healing power of God. You have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church on Sunday. If not, we'll see you here Monday on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.